company with the board?
Yes.
It's always that worrying moment when it's going deathly silent and I say something and it's like, if you can't hear me or you don't want to hear me. First of all, I wanted to thank Steve and Nicola for coming up leading our worship this morning. It's been brilliant. I've really, really enjoyed it. They're a blessing. Mm-hmm. They really are a blessing to the church at Darren Valley. And also to us as well. And of course, Nicola, many of us know that Nicola used to come here many years ago and lead worship. And it's great that you're still doing it. You know, you're not fed up with it. And it's not like, oh, I'm going to do something else for God now. This girl has got a gift for worship because she loves doing it. So thank you, Nicola. Thank you, Steve. And may God bless you in the coming days, weeks, months and years as you continue to serve both here and at Darren Valley. Today's reading is found, if I can find it, in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading the first 6 verses. And the title of this in my, this is an NIV Bible, this is the one with the small print I sometimes moan about. And it really is small, but I'm still going to use it. This is entitled On Divisions in the Church. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. So this is the reading, the last reading in our series about But God. Now, I actually have really enjoyed this series. I hope you have too. And I hope you've actually got something from it. My intention when we started this was to show that it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, God is in control. So when we look back over the several weeks that we've been doing it, it's only actually been 4 weeks, but it started about 5 weeks ago because obviously we had Alistair in to actually give us some lovely stuff last week. The first week, of course, we were talking about Noah. Now, I hadn't preached on Noah. I remember last time I preached on Noah, but we preached on Noah. But we also had Jenny's testimony that week. And that was so powerful. Because when you hear the testimony of people who you know, it really hits home that God is still with us. God is still amongst us. God is still moving at this particular time. We then had Simeon, who came along from YWAM, who was talking about Joseph and how things seem to be cyclic within, not just in the Bible, but within the world in general. You see things and you think, oh, I've seen that before. Doesn't mean to say that we don't fall into the same traps as before, but Simeon was great. Mike, 2 weeks ago, also brought a really good word. And all the sermons and the illustrations that we've heard were just proof that when God steps in, he makes the difference. See, it's not about people. It's not about circumstances. God rises above those. You put a circumstance in front of God and he'll go, yeah, right, I'll go over that. I'll go around it. So I'm now going to ask you a question that I actually want you to think about. Who do you follow? Who do you follow? Now, I don't mean which football team do you support? It's obviously Arsenal, so you should all be supporting those. Or which musician or pop group is your favourite? For me, it was Genesis. It's still Genesis, but I still love their music. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, who do you try to model your life on? Who do you try to emulate? Now, we're here, when we're in church, the answer's easy and it's obvious, and if you don't get this right, then there's something wrong with you. You're not listening. But when you're out there in the real world, hopefully it's the same answer that you have here as when you're out there. Because it should be Jesus. But when you consider the words of Jesus, what did he actually say? We were in the Alpha group on Thursday night, and it's really interesting teaching Alpha at the moment, because there's so much people don't know, and so much that we take for granted that people don't know. As an example, we opened up the Bible, and Jesus' words in a lot of our Bibles are in red. And somebody said, well, why are they in red? So we have Jesus' words. And so it's really important to actually understand what he said, not your interpretation of what he said. So what did Jesus say? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's interesting. That's really interesting. You see, he didn't say, you must be like me, because that is an impossible task. You cannot be Jesus. You can follow his teaching, but you cannot be him. There is only one Jesus Christ. You follow his teaching. What else did he teach us? Love one another as I have loved you. Do this in remembrance of me. And you know what? I'm sure you can quote loads and loads of other things that he actually said. Mainly, though, Jesus taught by example. He showed the disciples. And by definition, us as well, because we are his disciples. We're just in a different time frame. If we were born 2,000 years ago, we would be his disciples. Might have been us that he was written about in the Bible. You never know. Could you imagine? Ooh. But you see, he showed the disciples what to do, how to be, by example. Why did he do that? Because we're all different. We look different. Steve and I look similar because we're both men. I've got more hair. He's better looking. But thankfully, he doesn't look like me. We're all different. Because we're all different, we all behave differently. And quite often, that's according to what we've actually been taught. Let me give you an example. If you were actually taught that it's okay to steal things, it doesn't matter, it doesn't do anybody any harm, it's only stuff, you will have no conscience about doing that at all. It won't bother you. There are people like that out there like that. And they can't justify what they do because they think it's not important. You see, Jesus taught us by example, but we've also got the scriptures to turn around that tells us, thou shalt not steal. It's easy, it's obvious, but it's a deliberately obvious and easy thing to illustrate. In 1 Corinthians 3, we have got two illustrations that Paul gives that we can easily identify with. And I'm going to continue on with 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and read verses 7 to 9. Now, one of the things, before I get into this, one of the things that I would really like going forward, I don't know how this will ever work, but I'm not sure it's ever actually worked in my church life, is that when I actually say to you, look at this particular verse that you actually open up your Bibles. Now today, people have got them on their phone. And you actually look at certain people and they're actually looking at their phone, but they are not playing a game, they're looking at their Bible. There you go. Nicholas, they actually proudly said, look, 1 Corinthians 3, yes. But one day, it would be great if everybody was actually opening their Bibles. I remember when I was a young Christian, and how our pastor used to read the chapter that he was going to be preaching on, because he said this is the only time people will open their Bibles during the whole week. It's a sad indictment, but it would be great to get back to something like that. Anyway, I digress. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 7 to 9 says this. It says, just after when he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Interesting, you notice that the people had different tasks. One watered, one sowed the seed. Now, all of you gardeners out there will know that you water and you sow the seed, because you're not rich enough to be able to afford somebody to come and actually do your watering for you. Or maybe you are, I don't know. But you don't make it grow, do you? You don't make it grow. I mean, Stephen's got sheep. Probably the only person in this room who has got sheep. But he can't make them grow. He can feed them, but he doesn't make them grow. With plants, you can't make them grow. All you can do is give them the right environment for them to grow. If you actually believe that by talking to plants, you make them grow, well, by the way, I'll show you share a little secret with you. My mother-in-law does this, talks to plants, and she believes it works. But I'm not going to argue with her, because she's much older than me and wiser than me. There you go. As we continue on with our reading, the second illustration is about building a house. So I'm going to continue on verse 10 to verse 13. By the grace God has given me, I lay the foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Now, when Paul's talking about building a building, he's talking about building the church here in Corinth. But what he's actually talking about is not the physical labour. He's talking about the spiritual labour. About building the church of Jesus Christ there and here. But the illustration of a house is actually relevant. Anybody who's ever had any building work done will know that it's not one person who comes along and builds it all. You have different people with different skills doing their different tasks and roles when you actually have anything built or constructed, especially in a house. I remember years ago we actually had a new kitchen fitted. And Hugh Lamont, who's with the Lord now, we asked him to come and actually do it. Now, me being naive, thought he'd do it all. Oh, no. He brought a gas fitter to actually fit and move the gas boiler. He brought a chippy in to actually do all of the worktops. I thought he'd do it all. I mean, he's the guy I'm paying. But no, he got the specialist people in to actually do the specialist jobs. When you think about building a house, a bricky does not put tiles on the roof. A roofer does that. A bricky does not put the electrics in. You have an electrician to do that. And so on and so forth. You see, each one is skilled. And it says here, his skills will be tested when it's trialed. In here it says trial by fire. You don't want to trial a house by fire, because that's dangerous. But any building work that actually happens has to be approved by regulators before a house is allowed to be dwelt in. We have a house just up the road from us that about a year or so ago was actually just about to be moved into. And there was a regulator sitting outside waiting to gain entrance into this house so that he could check the work to make sure that it was actually accurate. How I know this is because this regulator is a friend of mine who I play football with. Now I thought, what on earth are you doing in my road at 8:30 in the morning, Robin? And he said, well, this is my job. This is what I do. I'm going into that house to make sure that all the electrics are all working and it's fine. In our reading, we see that the fire will test the quality of each person's work. In our church life, our contribution to our church will be tested also. Do you know what? We've heard it today. God loves his church. Not this. Church is not the building. This is the church. We are the church. We are the people. We've heard that time and time again this morning. He loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, all of you, and me, and them out there. Because it's not just about Newbound Christian Fellowship, it's about the Church of God. God loves every single church out there as much as he loves us. We are one church. Never ever forget that. We are one church. Verse 16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. It's a slightly different translation. I'm going to turn to my New King James Version for this bit, which is why I carry two Bibles. Not because I'm holy, but because I like to look at different translations. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. If anyone defiles, if anyone poisons the temple of God, if anyone poisons you, because you are the temple of God, God will destroy you. Please, it's really, really important. Do not be that person who decides that they're going to poison the well. This church is God's church. And it's been here for years. 25, 26, 27 plus years. 28, I was going to get there. I promise. Do you know what? He wants it here for years to come. To bring people in from this community. To show God's love to this area in Longfield Hill. This is why, as a church, we're becoming more outward looking. Our mission field is out there. It's not in here. This is where we get built up, to be able to go out there. Many years ago, I was actually preaching in a little church in Cuxton. I mean, I'm sure I've said this before. They used to have a sign up over the door that said, this way to the mission field. I'm wondering whether I ought to do that. I don't know. I wonder if anybody would let me. That's our mission field out there, not in here. Do you see, it's not about how many people we can get in here on a Sunday, and it would be lovely to double the size of this congregation. I'm not saying that it wouldn't. But it's about how many people we're reaching out there in our mission field. How many people are we reaching out there in our mission field? I've actually written on my notes, gear change coming. If anybody's ever been in a car, which I'm pretty sure you all have, you ever change down a gear and it's gone and crunched a little bit, and if you've ever been in a car with me, you'll hear it quite often. So I'm going to change gear ever so slightly, but it's really important. Because for the last 6 months or so, I've had people come up to me and say, why don't you become the pastor? Well, let me tell you, because I've not been called. God has not called me to do that. That job has been given to somebody else. But it's not about the person. So it's not going to be about Mike. It's not about Alan. It was not ever about Mark. It certainly is not going to be about me. Because we do not follow the person. We follow Jesus Christ. He's the person we actually look to. The author and finisher of our faith. So when we go back and look at our scripture, where it says in verse 5, what, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each to his task. This is the crux of my sermon today. We're all here to do a part. But it's God who's going to provide the increase, or if you like, to make it grow. When it comes to his church, and it's God's church, it's not my church, I'm just a member here, it's God's church. God will make it grow. The thing is, though, we get to play a part in that. Because when you actually start to play a part, when you actually start to be part of something that actually happens, it really is a great feeling. You see, God could do it on his own. He's God. He could do anything. He could do it on his own. But he gets you involved as part of this growth. He gets you involved because he wants you to experience what it's like to actually be part of it. To actually feel how it will be great to see it grow. You might ask, well, what is it that I am meant to do? What is my task? And it's interesting, and I'm going to give you an illustration. And this came to me when I was writing this out. And I'm mindful that the person I'm talking about here shouldn't necessarily be recognised, but you may recognise this person anyway. You see, I once had a conversation with someone, and she did, oh, says she, used to come here, and we were talking about what we believe our calling is. Now, of course, we're Christians, we always talk of these really weird things about, what's my calling? What do you think God wants you to do? Let's make it a little bit simpler. She said she thought her calling was worship. But then we started to dig a little deeper. Actually, that wasn't her calling at all. Her calling was to help people in a medical capacity. See, that's what really made this person come alive. I often talk about, well, actually, I don't often talk about the fact that I used to do prison ministry. But I remember once telling my boss about this, and I said to him, if you think I'm animated now, you should see me in there when I really become alive. I get really passionate. Aunt Jenny is passionate about Welcome Wednesday. It drives her. It gives her strength and purpose to be able to set up an environment where people can come. Now, she's not here this morning, and she will listen to this on the recording. Hi, Jane. But she's so passionate, sometimes it's over passionate, but it's the thing that actually drives her. I keep talking about the food bank. And I had no idea when I went in there that very first time when we were saying, shall we actually go and find out what it's all about before we hand over our harvest? I just wanted to check it out. I had no idea what was going on in there. But as soon as I went in, it's like, no, I've got to help. I've just got to be involved. And it's like that with whatever ministry, in inverted commas, for those just listening on the tape, you get involved in. That's how you feel about it. That's how passionate you get. Whatever it is you want to do in the church, however you want to contribute to the growth, we as a leadership team, we as a group of elders, whatever you want to call us, we will try and help you to see how we can achieve this. But you won't be providing the increase. That's God's job. God will provide the increase. God will make this church grow. God will be out there in the mission field providing that increase. Let me give you an example. If you wanted, for example, to go and prayer walk the streets, I know that that happens at Darrant Valley because I've spoken to the pastor there and he says, yes, we do that. We do that every week. And they've been doing it for years and years and years. And apparently, when we spoke to Adrian, last time I saw him, he said, actually, it's so difficult now to actually get round because people keep stopping and talking to him and offering him cups of tea. And, you know, because he's been so well known around the area. Now, prayer walking the streets is actually going to happen here. I know it's happened before, and it's going to happen again. Mike's very, very keen to do that and get involved in that. I said I didn't want to do it to him this week. However, I'd actually feel challenged by God about this. Maybe you will be too. I do feel challenged about this. See, there are many ways in which I see this church growing in the coming years. One, first and foremost, we're already involved in churches together. We wasn't like that a year ago. You know, we're actually reaching out. We're actually working. Or we're actually going to be working with DVCC. How? I don't know. But it's great to actually have Steve and Nicola here today and to start to think about how do we actually work together. There's going to be another joint service. And it will be here. Steve's just given us the thumbs up for those of you who couldn't see. Not only is it going to be here, and not only is it going to be a joint service, Mark Leveson's going to be speaking. So that's a heads up for March the 17th next year. Things are changing, things are happening. We're building stuff. You see, as a leadership team, being the only one in today of part of the leadership team, all we've tried to do is to keep New Balm on the right path, keep it going. However, what have we achieved over the last several months? Well, we've had a series of sermons and series that we've actually been looking at. Now, when I went back and actually checked this out, I was amazed just how much we've done as a church, how much we've learned and how much we've been taught by God as a church. Let's just go back to when we started looking at this in May, June. We went through a few parables of Jesus. We actually went through the whole of the book of Galatians. I remember Eve saying to me, why did you pick Galatians? Well, I said, well, it's because it's got six chapters. So I wanted short series. I didn't want 12, 13, 17 week series. Wanted short ones. That's why I picked Galatians. The seven I am sayings of Jesus. The fact that we actually had our missionaries that in here that we actually support to come and talk to us about what they do. And of course, finally, this series, the Back the Buck God series. So it's been quite a lot, actually. I was really surprised just how much we've covered in the last 6 months. Of course, we're coming up to our favourite time of the year. Well, if it's not yours, it's certainly mine, which is Advent and Christmas. And what are we going to be looking at there? Well, we're going to be looking at peace, which Nigel's going to do next week. Hope and love during this lovely season. We thanked God this morning for many things. I thank God this morning that he's actually taken this church forward. Don't look around you at the numbers. It's easy for when you're at the front to look at the numbers and think, oh, it's not that many here today. He's taken this church forward. He's right here, in here, with us. And why is that? It's because he is our focus. And he will continue to be our focus. We're not going to focus on ourselves. We're going to focus on God. We're not going to focus on what we want to do. We're going to focus on what God wants us to do. It might be different to what you've ever done before. But if he wants you to do it, be prepared to open up your heart and say, yes, God, I'll do that. When I first started to do prison ministry, I was actually in a church not far from here in Hartley. And this guy came up to me afterwards and said, God's told me, and if anybody ever says that to you, you've got to be very, very careful because you don't know what's coming next. So God's told me to tell you that you've got to come into prisons with me. And I'm like, what? It's almost like you're having a laugh, aren't you? But I felt that it was the right thing, and yes, I did, and yes, I was in there for many, I was in prison for many years. And yes, it was scary, but God was in it. And I saw some amazing things. What is it that God wants you to do out there in his mission field? Who knows? Well, actually, I do know. God knows. Ask him what it is he wants you to do. Because, but God will provide the increase. So it's not only about you, it's what God can do through you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that